In a world starved for entertainment, humor, and meaning, two brave best friends set out on an epic quest to combine their love of improv comedy, movies, and storytelling to create a show that defies the odds and redefines cinematic genius.
Dude, it's just a podcast where we use short-form improv games to tell long-form improv stories in the style of famous movies.
Right. You're listening to In a World of Improvised Movie Homages. I'm your co-host, Avish Parasher, and I'm an improv comedian and a professional speaker.
And I'm your co-host, Mike Wirth, and I'm an improv comedian and professional film and video game composer.
We both love improv, movies, and storytelling, along with getting a little bit silly and ridiculous.
And hey, if you also like these things, then you are in the right place, because that's what this show is all about.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome, everyone, back to In a World of Improvised Movie Homages. Mike, how are you doing this fine afternoon?
Awesome. I'm doing so awesome, especially because of the genre we're going to do. It's been a great week, and, you know, this summer is cooking along beautifully. How about you, Avish? How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good as well. It's been, right now, when we're recording this, it's right after the 4th of July, and things have been busy with some travel and stuff, so... It's been a tiring week, but very excited, like you, about our little story and genre here today.
So good.
Before we reveal what that is, just real quick, if you're listening to In a World of Improvised Movie Homages for the first time, here's how it works. Mike and I love improv, movies, and storytelling, so we combine them into one show. We're going to improvise a movie for you in podcast form, but we'll tell that story by playing a series of improv comedy games. So we're going to start with a genre or sample movie as our starting point. Then we break our show into four segments. First, we spend 5 minutes discussing the tropes, commonalities, cliches of the genre. Then we spend 5 minutes hashing out a high-level outline for the movie we're going to perform today. Then we spend 5 minutes picking the specific improv games we are going to play for each act of the movie. And once that's all set, segment four is we perform the show. So, Mike, why don't you begin by letting everyone know what today's genre starting point is?
I shall. Today's genre, and this came out of nowhere, but I got really excited when we started talking about it. We are going to do a fantasy mission-based movie. Not an epic one like Lord of the Rings that spawns, you know, multiple movies, but kind of a single, tight, Dungeons & Dragons-style fantasy mission in the style of Dragon Slayer, which is the old movie with the dragon you need to kill. If you reference the actual Dragonlance book one, or even part of book one, or even like Conan the Barbarian, where it's like a small group of adventurers, a tight mission that is part of a larger campaign, but this movie will be focusing on that tight mission. So
yeah,
did I describe
more budget? There's a series of movies on Amazon Prime called Mythica.
Yes.
There's a series, not just one, but a series of Dungeons & Dragons movies. The first one with Jeremy Irons. There was a sequel, which was lower budget, but higher quality than the...
How'd they do that?
Well, just like better scripted.
Yes. It's amazing what a good script can do to actually make a movie work. Shall we?
So yes, that is the genre we're going to be doing today. It's going to be a ton of fun. Mike and I... both grew up on fantasy novels and movies and TV shows.
Yes.
And play Dungeons and Dragons. So yeah, we're going to have a rip-roaring good time with this one. Before we get started with our first segment, quick request. If you like what you hear today, if you could do us a favor and go over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and even a short review, that would be really helpful in helping people find us and help the podcast grow. All right, so segment one,
discussing the tropes.
All right. So now we are going to spend 5 minutes just talking about the commonalities, cliches, tropes of this genre. And
yes.
This is something we're well versed in. So, Mike, when you think of a fantasy Dungeons and Dragons style movie, what comes to mind?
Well, first, it's almost always a party-based a party-based system, even though there is usually one major – well, in the film, there's usually one major protagonist. But this protagonist always has to be supported by the various specialists, right? There's always going to be the tank or the fighter, the wizard – the crafty rogue, you know, like, I mean, like, we don't even need, like, there's just going to be in there. Yeah.
Barbarian, thief, and
acrobat. Right. So all that, you know, cleric, all that stuff. As a matter of fact, in Mythica, I think they had cleric, wizard, fighter, and thief, I think was the holy quadruple.
Yeah, there's always a thief, there's always a fighter, usually a cleric, there's always a magic user. And I would say the hero is often, not always, but often some kind of a chosen one or... You know,
yes, prophesize. Or gifted uniquely or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're special. It's
right.
Not just a random. It's not just Frodo, you know, carrying a ring. It's like,
yeah.
Oh my God, you're able to do that and no one can do that. Like, ooh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, totally. The magic in the part of the trope is that magic does exist. It's not like one of these Conan ones where magic is kind of like, it's like low fantasy where magic's kind of reviled. No, 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 there's magic and there's, you know, it's real.
Everyone knows about it. It exists and it's a big part of the story.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to, there's monsters, usually often a dragon or, you know, troll, like some kind of big bad monster.
Yep. There's going to be the monsters scale up through the movie. So the initial attacks are with little things like orcs and gnolls and all that stuff. And then they usually encounter a couple of like sub bosses, right? Like trolls or like a minotaur or something like that. And, you know, then it culminates in like, usually an epic battle when they go up against the head bad guy, which we'll get to in a second. There's one epic battle against a large evil monster where the party has to use their resources and come together. Oh, that's the other thing. The party kind of has to learn to trust each other. And there's like, you know, some act one, I don't want to say bickering, but like posturing and kind of things like that.
And I don't know, for the sake of time, a lot of times in these, the party is formed over the course of the movie. That may take too much time for our improv format. You know,
right.
A lot of times, like, oh, they meet the thief. Oh, then they meet the fighter. Oh, then they meet the cleric.
I mean, they may or may not have that. Yeah, it's kind of like the Bremen Town musicians, you know? There's always a single head bad guy. Even if he's the member of a larger cult or a larger government, there's always a head bad guy which they have to take down at the end of the movie. There has to be that.
Always either a wizard or has magic powers.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So let's just, for the sake of it, let's just make sure the bad, let's just have the bad guy be a wizard or a spell caster, just because why not?
So he may or may not also be the monster, or the monster may be a secondary.
Right, his lieutenant. Let me think what else. What are some other tropes? Okay, that's the setup, the tropes, the adventures they go through. They're,
There's a series of like quests or obstacles. There's almost always a journey, right? They're trying to get from point A to point B.
Yes. It depends upon how deep you want to get. We can actually refer back to even Krull for this. There's two reasons you do in the quests in these shows. They're either information quests, trying to find out where the guy lives, or they're stockpiling quests. It's like, I got to get the magic scroll, or I got to get the destiny hammer, right?
I think it's much more cliche to say we have to go find the weapon to use to defeat the whatever.
Yeah, yeah, the glaive. The glaive. What else? Let me think. There's, you know, all the characters are, all the secondary characters that show up are caricatures and or pastiches. There's like very little, like, there's very little thought going into making depth of these characters. That's half the fun, is that you're like, oh, it's a dwarf.
Oh, yeah,
he's a drunk. Yeah, he's
note.
A drunken fighter, right? Here's a halfling. Okay, he's going to be a nimble-tongued, you know, sneaky little thiefy kind of guy, right? You know?
Yeah, yeah. There's not a lot of... This is not Game of Thrones where each character is, like, very complex and multifaceted.
Or, like, Eberron, where the whole point of the D&D Eberron was, like, oh, yeah, you can have, like, a good kobold and an evil elf, you know, kind of thing. Cause
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. This one, your thief is wisecracking, your fighter is rough, your cleric is overly pious, like, it's...
Yeah. It's God, you know, when you break it out this way, this is an astonishingly, like, simplistic set of tropes. We've broken down movies that have been a lot more nuanced than this.
Yeah, this just gets complicated because when you got a party, you got, and then like it's like a lot, can be a lot of plot, can be a lot of characters. None of those things are particularly deep or complex.
No.
All right, and that is the end of our 5-minute timer.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so we have lots of good tropes. So this brings us to
segment 2, creating the outline.
All right, so now this is where we spend 5 minutes hashing out, creating an outline for the movie we're going to do. We're going to use a 4-act structure, which is similar to 3, but we take the big act 2 and break it into 2 halves. So we have 4 acts. We're going to come up with the outline now, but because this is improv and improv comedy with games and weird things, we may veer from this, but this is our kind of lifeline we'll use. So let's reset the timer.
Yep, we reserve the right to change any and everything.
Exactly. All right. So to discuss the outline, we usually start with a trailer or prologue. I feel when you're talking epic fantasy / Dungeons and Dragons, it's almost always a prologue.
I think so, too, because you want to set the stage.
Yeah, and that prologue is usually something involving either the bad guy or the history or the object.
Yes. The prologue will usually either be showing the bad guy and why he's evil and his nefarious plan, right? Or a scene with the MacGuffin object. Although
it's like the bad guy, you see him being nefarious, like he's trying to implement his big world-ending plan, but it fails. And then he realizes it fails because, oh, we don't have the MacGuffin.
Right.
And that's when he realizes, oh, you know, where is the MacGuffin? And then
yeah. Now, the only thing is in fantasy, oftentimes the MacGuffin device, it's a subtle difference, does actually have some useful powers. Like...
Yeah, I mean, a real MacGuffin, like, has no actual impact.
Right, so. The Maltese Falcon, right? It's just like everybody wants it, nobody... Or the Case of Gold in the Tarantino film, Pulp Fiction, right? Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, it actually does something. But yeah, you'll kind of learn about it, maybe the bad guy.
Yep. All right, so Act 1.
Act 1, we obviously meet the hero.
Yep.
Almost always some kind of a simple villager...
Yeah, this is Hero's Journey 101, right? It's like the everyday, you know. Then, you know, let's play the Hero's Journey card. Like, they get a call to adventure or something. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope, something like that. And
they usually, either they stumble across either the object or the bad guys. You know, like, you know, they're out in the world and... You know, they see someone being attacked, so they intervene, or they kind of fall in a cave and they find this object and like, oh, what is this? So
yeah. And then
like
at
it's
the end,
always accidental is how they get initially embroiled in the
right. And then you know what? Here's what's going to happen. I think the hero needs to go out to fix the evil, but is woefully unequipped and must recruit help. That's how the party's going to kind of right.
Yeah. So at the end of Act 1 is when he kind of sets out, probably on his own. And I would say Act 2 is where he kind of starts gathering up the party.
Yeah, exactly. So it sets out to stop the baddie, but is underprepared, needs help. Yep.
Yeah, basically in Act 1, something bad will happen, and he'll be kind of thrust out to...
This literally is like reading like Star Wars. It's like... it's on, like, this is like, Jesus, it's like...
He's got to gather his pilot and his Wookiee in Act 2.
Yes, Act 2 gathers his party... And then series now for the improv thing, it's only be like a couple of quests, and none of them.
Yeah, it's only like one quest in act. It's probably one quest in each, you know, act. Like act two may be the quest to find out where the object is, and then act 3 will be them questing to get the object.
Yeah,
like act 2 is a quest to learn. Act 3 is the quest to get, but then act 3 is going to end in some kind of a. Encounter disaster where they, you know, lose to the bad guy or they lose the object. Like they get it, but then they lose it. Like the bad guy gets it, and so the kind of all is lost moment.
Yeah, yeah. One or two things happen. They either lose the MacGuffin, or bad guy captures some of the party.
Yeah, or both.
Or all, right? You know, or all the party, right? You don't know. And then what happens in Act 4 is the ingenious rescue of party reacquiring.
And then the final confrontation.
Oh, the MacGuffin, yep. And then final confrontation. Which is almost always one of two things. It's A, big bad monster fight.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or stop the big bad evil guy plans. Timed. It's almost always like the ritual's happening and they've got to stop it, right?
Yeah, there's urgency and usually there's some kind of twist on how to beat the bad guy. It's not just like, oh, I killed him with my sword. It's usually like, oh, I realize that if I, you know, kill his cat, that will force him. That'll be his familiar, so he'll be dead then.
Yeah, that's his phylactery or whatever.
Exactly.
Party bands
together. The last thing I'll say, we're almost out of time here, is that act two, certainly, and even into act three, you know, the hero is often like ineffectual, insecure, lacking confidence, and the kind of the finale is where he steps into his or her, accepts his role and builds confidence and realizes the key to his power.
Yes. And the last other one to that is the party has trouble in the beginning kind of finding its groove. But the important point of Act 4 is that the party is working together smoothly as a team. They figured out each other's strengths and the way to support each other. That's a really important part for a good fantasy, right? It's okay if they're screwing up in the Act 2 and Act 3 and they're like fighting against each other. Not fighting, but like they're not optimizing, but they're optimized by Act 4.
All right. Awesome. All right. Good. That is the end of our outlining phase.
God, it seems so simple when you put it that way. It's like anybody can write a fantasy novel.
Brings us to segment 3.
Segment 3, choosing the games.
All right, so now we've established that we're going to have a prologue and 4 acts. For each of those, we're going to pick 1 improv game. At least sometimes we go with 2, but 1 improv game that we're going to use to tell or act out that part of the story. So let's reset our timer and go. All right, so let's bring up our game list here.
Yeah, prologue. Oh, we'll show that.
We'll come back to the prologue and kind of see what else we got.
Yeah.
All right, so Act 1, where we're sort of meeting our heroes, he stumbles across the bad guys or the object and needs to, and then is thrust into his adventures.
Yeah, the special world.
Yeah. Let's see.
Best of times, worst of times. Gibberish switch, no. Gibberish switch would be good in Act 2 or Act 3.
Let's see. Well, we know we can do cutting room for our final game.
Yeah. Line? Like Mad Libs? No. We can do A to C.
We can do one of the emotion games, like emotional switching.
Yeah, let's do emotional switching. Yeah, emotional switching is good. We'll do that.
Okay, and we'll explain. If you've never played these, never seen or heard of these games, we will explain. We'll do a quick recap, and then we'll explain before we actually play the games, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Act 1, Emotional Switch. Act 2, this is where he's on his quest. He's going to meet people. So this is where he's kind of start forming the party, and they're going to go on their quest to learn what they need to do to beat the bad guy. Learn where the object is they need to get.
I can see us doing 2 games here and make them a little shorter, because one of the games that's going to be a lot of fun will be Best of Times, Worst of Times.
I think that would be good for the quest to get the knowledge they need.
Yeah, so that'd be like the second game we play.
Okay, and that's a good idea.
And then when they meet the party,
let's maybe like a really quick game. What's a good quick one where we like almost like a meet the party type thing, you know, like
Well, you could do heroes, or we could do A to Z.
I think something more quick jokey like superheroes versus let's do superheroes.
Yeah.
But we'll do it with fantasy characters.
Yeah. Fantasy heroes,
I like it. All right, that leaves us Act 3. So we've got emotional switching, superheroes, best of times, worst of times. And then Act 3 is where they go on the quest. They'll probably have to escape a trap. Oh, we didn't talk about traps. That's a trope. There's always a trap.
Oh, God, there's always traps, yeah.
So they'll probably be trapped, probably combat. They'll get the object, but then have it snatched away from them at the last moment. So let's see. For this, Let's see. What's a good one? Maybe something we haven't done in a little while.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that. Like, what's the, you do Pardon? Well, or Ding. Ding and Pardon are kind of shades of the same.
Ding and Pardon are very, yeah, very. So I'm trying to think if this is going to lend itself more towards storytelling or towards acting out, like action, where we want to narrate a little bit more, or scene work.
I would say gibberish switch to possibility.
Gibberish is a possibility. I feel like we've been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah, like let's stay away from that. Let's do that. Newsroom.
Newsroom. I like Newsroom. My problem with Newsroom is I feel like last time we did this genre, we did Newsroom as well.
Damn it.
That was our Kraken.
Oh, yeah, because I remember they going to the lake. Yeah.
Which is a very good one, but yeah, I feel like we just kind of did that. So I would say...
what's part of your thing?
What's that?
You go first.
Obviously, we do scenes without the letter story, where we're telling a story. One of us uses the word has a letter. The other person picks it up to kind of work through that.
Oh, man. Okay, scenes without the letter. Damn, that's hard. Hey, man, who said improv was easy, man?
All right, you want to do that one? Or
Yeah, or why, just say something else?
No, you were going to, that you had another.
I was going to say Ding or Pardon is kind of fun, because that gets the rampant, like, now, you know what, I'm thinking fast-paced for this. Like, let's do Ding or Pardon.
Okay. I mean, I think Scenes Without the Letter is fast-paced, but.
Oh, you do? Well, let's just see that letter. I trust you. You're doing this professionally. I'm doing it semi-professionally. Go see that letter.
If we go fast and aren't worried about making mistakes, if we kind of like, you know, do our best and are willing to screw it up. And we haven't done Scenes Without the Letter in a while, so.
I'm always willing to screw up. And then, of course, act for it.
Story.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, and so for the prologue, for that, do you want to do Ding or Pardon for the prologue?
Sure. Those are great games. I love them.
All right. Which one you got a hankering for?
I got to do Ding, right? It's like your calling card, right?
All right, there you go, and that's our timer. Perfect.
Even the alarm wants to do Ding.
All right, so quick recap. Here are the games we're going to play. For our prologue, we do the improv game Ding, which I don't know if we can do this as a story or as a... Why don't we do... We'll do. So we did this recently with Gibberish. Why don't we do a story? So the prologue, I think, is more narrative. Prologue could work as a story. We'll do, like we did with Gibberish Switch last week, where... Yeah. When one of us is speaking, the other person can say ding, at which point, or clap their hands and say ding. Right. Whoever's telling a story has to go back, repeat what they said, but change it. So say, you know, long ago, there was an ancient wizard. Ding.
Ding.
There was an ancient fighter. Ding. There was an ancient whale. Whatever. And then when they stop, they keep going. At any point, we can double clap, at which point the other person will pick up the story. So it's combining conducted story and ding. So yes. Single clap double and ding mean repeat what you said, double clap. Switch story, and either one of us can do either of those. For act one, we're going to do emotional switching, where we'll start acting out the scene. At any point, either of us can call out an emotion, at which point the scene needs to take on that emotion and justify why it has that emotion, and we'll switch a bunch of times. For act two, we're doing a lot of games today. We're doing an improv game called Superheroes. We'll do fantasy heroes, where essentially, Mike and I will start out a short scene with one character, and then we'll keep introducing new characters, where I'll introduce the character, and Mike will take it on, then Mike will introduce my name and trait, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Lothar the whatever.
Yep.
And it's just a quick way of forming our party.
Yeah.
Then best of times, worst of times, where we'll do a scene, but we'll switch between when we'll clap and say best of times, everything is good, and we'll clap and say worst of times, everything's bad.
Everything goes south, yeah.
Then we'll do scenes without the letter story, where one of us will start telling a story, but there'll be one letter of the alphabet we're not allowed to use. If one of us makes a mistake, use that letter or slows down or stops making any kind of grammatical sense, they get dinged and the other person picks up the story, but still without using that letter. And finally, we end with Cutting Room, our favorite ending game.
Yes.
Where we'll start acting a scene and then at any point we can cut to any other part of the story that we want to see. Woo. All right.
It's a whole lot of games.
A whole lot of games. Yeah, we're doing a prologue and a double
double game. Yeah.
All right. So all we need to do, so that is the end of a segment three. Now, before we begin, the final thing we need to do is to come up with a title for this this movie. And we have been doing this one word at a time, which I think has been working well.
Yes.
So, Mike, you want to kick us off with the first word of our title?
Yes. Okay. Xandria.
The
Blossoming
Necromancer.
I'm already in on this. Xandria, the Blossoming Necromancer.
All right.
I want to read a D&D adventure on this now.
Love it.
It's good, man. All right.
Xandria, I'm just typing this into a little document so we don't forget it.
Yes.
All right, which means it is time for segment four.
Segment four, showtime.
All right, so we will begin with our opening prologue using the improv game Storytelling Ding of Xandria, the Blossoming Necromancer.
Yes.
Would you like to kick off the story, or would you like to be the one dinging?
I'll start off first, right?
Okay.
And if, for those of you who haven't heard, I occasionally go into directorial mode where I talk about establishing shots and stuff. Because, hey, it's my improv game along with a V, so I can do whatever I want.
That's okay. Right.
Xandria, the Blossoming Necromancer, and start the film. The camera rises up through the forest over a morning, breaking over a small, beautiful village, bustling as the vegetables are coming in from the fields and the markets are opening up. A small young girl, just barely out of her teens, is running out of a house towards the town center. Father, father, you forgot. You need to have the silver so that you can pick up all the new supplies for our weekend gathering with the family.
Ding.
You forgot to get all of the extra manure because the vegetables are going to die if we don't get enough food for them.
Ding.
You forgot to get the water, and now all the fish are dying in our backyard stream. You've got to get more water, Father. Well, child, it's good that you reminded me of this, but unfortunately, the mother's off at the city with all of the mares and the horses. The mother's off at the city doing things that I don't prefer not to know about. And when she comes back, she'll have spent all the money. We won't have enough money to buy water. I'm afraid all the fish
will die. Oh, but Father, if all the fish are dead, what will we do? We won't be able to eat anything or make any money. Ah, child, I know. But you know, the overlord of the land has decreed that we can only fish. If we try to grow any crops or do any farming other than fishing, oh, we'll face a mighty retribution. It's just the way of the land with the overlord. Oh, Father, I wish that overlord wasn't there. Quiet, child. Oh, Father, I wish to become the overlord. I wish to see him. I wish the overlord was here. He has convinced me that he is a great man.
Ding.
He has convinced me that he is God and the only God for me. Child, no. Don't you know that you mustn't blaspheme against our one true lord? The overlord, he's an evil man. We only listen to him because he will destroy us and our village if we don't do what he wants. And
suddenly he's interrupted by the younger brother coming running up. Xandria, Xandria, the fish have all died. The fish have all died. We're not going to be able to eat. Father, what are we going to do? I don't know. I wasn't planning on this. I don't have enough. I wasn't prepared for this.
But ding.
It's time for me to show you something that you may never be able to walk back from. Come with me, child, as they scurried back towards their house. Walking in, he saw the pond full with lifeless fish. Child, ding. He saw the pond overflowing with beautiful flowers that had choked the fish to death.
And we cut to the evil overlord's lair.
My lord, said the henchman as he came slinking into the overlord, we have heard the pond has been overgrown with flowers.
With flowers, you say? Flowers?
Yes, my lord, as in the prophecy.
The prophecy? No. We must find these flowers. We must raise that village to the ground. No one in a pond with flowers must be allowed to live.
I don't want to dig. The story's too good. cut back to the village. Xandria looks at her father. This wasn't here this morning. These flowers weren't here. How did you know? I knew. Because when you said all the fish had died in healthy water with food, It was a test. It was a test by the gods. Come, Zandria, put your hand on the surface of the water.
Ding.
Come, Zandria, dive deep into the water and scoop up all the dead fish you can find.
Ding.
Come, Zandria, go walk over and build a small fire that we may feast upon the rotting corpse. Come, Zandria, go inside and whittle me a small spear that I may stab my own hand and use my own blood to bring these fishes back from the dead using the evil blood magic that the overseer has taught me. Father!
Father, I will do that now. I will build a spear. I will build a spear and I will learn the blood magic.
And so our scene ends as the evil overlord gathers his army to raid the town and Zandria prepares her home-whittled spear to learn necromancy. End prologue.
Is that the prologue? No, that's act
that
one.
That was the prologue,
that's
yes.
The prologue? Oh, Jesus, I thought it was act one.
So, I know, we jumped in act one.
I got a little confused. Dude, literally, I didn't want to ding because as you got into the story, I was like, this is a quality setup. I was like, I don't want to mess with this. It was so good.
That's all right. That's a good sign. So ends the prologue / beginning of act one. As we said, we often veer from our outline.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
All right. For now, our story, let's say that was the first half of act one. And now we are, our story will continue from the point where Zandria's father is having her whittle a spear because of all the dead fish, so she can start learning some of the necromancy she needs to learn.
Yes.
But the evil overlord, who is still currently nameless, will, realizing because of a prophecy, he needs to raise this town so that no one from this town can stop him because the pond overgrown with flowers has been prophesied. To continue our story, we will play the improv game Emotional Switch or Emotional List, where we will start acting out as a scene. At any point, Mike or I can call out any emotion, feeling, mental state, and all the characters and the action of the scene will take on that emotion. And we'll have to justify why we made the switch, and then we'll switch a bunch of times throughout the story.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, right, now we're in Act 1.5.
Now we're in Act 1.5.
Actually, that was still a legit prologue, because now we could be like, you know, we could be at work. All right.
Doesn't matter. Still the beginning of the story. So.
Yeah, baby. All right, why don't you kick us off, Vish?
Ah, Zandria, I see you've got the thing. Now listen,
yes.
Necromancy is considered a dark art, but it doesn't have to be. If used for a noble purpose and used properly, necromancy is just as beneficial and positive as healing arts and thaumaturgy and thaumaturgy and all the urges out there.
Oh my, I never thought of it like that. Father, that means that I can take this skill that I have and actually use it to help people.
Yes, yes you can, but we must hurry because I know the flowers that have grown in the pond are glorious and noble and signal the beginning of your power. But if we know that, then the evil overlord Varanin knows it as well. And Zandria, you must know something important.
Yes.
You thought, I never told you about your mother. And you thought that she died in childbirth. But your mother was actually an elfin princess. And you have been prophesied that on this day, you would learn the arts to overthrow the overlord Verminin.
New emotional genre. Do you have a list? If not, I have one.
Go ahead.
Giddy like joy. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to raise the dead. This is the happiest day of my life. Here. Hey, James, brother, come over here. Kill something and put it in front of me. This is going to be great.
Okay. I'm going to kill. Oh, no, child. I love your joy. It's so good, but we can't kill things. Do you recall what I said? Don't you know what I just said about using it for good purposes?
We don't kill things. I got a little excited.
I know.
Laser focus. Okay. I got a little excited.
Look at me. Look me in the eyes. Okay. Damn it. We don't have time. Can't you hear in the distance? The thundering hooves are coming. We need to focus. I don't have much time. You must learn all of necromancy now.
Okay, I'm ready. Shh, I've got a piece of paper. I'm ready to go. What do I do with all this dead fish?
Okay.
They're now washing up in our pond.
Take that spear you whittled and cut yourself. You need your own blood.
Okay, I'll do that. Go for it, Vish.
Paranoia?
Yeah. Okay, I'll take this.
Ooh.
Wait a second. How do I know this wood isn't from the poison tree? It looks just like the poison tree you told me never to go by. You're talking all about this death now, Father. You want me to stick this into my own hand now?
Why are you doubting me? And why are you talking about poison trees? I'm here. I reveal secrets to you and you don't.
Wait a minute. I heard you talking earlier about how you think the Overlord is God. Maybe you don't want to learn necromancy. Maybe you don't want to follow your mother's legacy. Maybe you want to turn me into the Overlord Verminin.
Stubbornness, you know? Well, maybe I just don't think that I need to do all your old weird ways of, like, cutting myself with wood and stuff. I can just raise these fish with my own power. I can do it. I don't need your help.
Fine. Then I don't need you either. Maybe you could just go learn necromancy on yourself.
I will, mister.
Confusion.
Wait. You want me to go out by myself? I haven't been ever out of the village, ever. I don't know what I'm going to do. Where am I going to find the ways to learn necromancy? Where am I going to learn how to stop the Overlord?
Look, I don't even know where to begin. I haven't practiced in a long time. I haven't trained anyone in a long time. Listen, I hear the hooves coming. They're coming closer. I don't have time to train you. You must find the staff of the undead. And once you hold that staff, a true necromancer will know all they need to know. But I don't have time to teach you. You must go. You must go and find the staff. I will stop Lord Verminin as long as I can.
I'll go, Father. I'll do my best to make you proud. I'm so sorry. I wasn't able to stay longer, but I'll go.
Excitement. Lord Verminin, look! There's the pod! There's the pod with the flowers!
Oh, you are a wonderful scout. And look, there's a fat man sitting right next to it. Fresh blood magic to kill.
Can we start the raising? Can we raise the town?
Raise away, my chosen subjects. Raise like there's no tomorrow.
Anger.
What are you doing? What are you doing to my town? That's my crop. That's my dog. What are you?
Are you talking to Overlord Verminin? Damn you.
I am. You are a monster and an obscene person. And no matter what you're doing, what are you doing to those creatures? Those poor cows never did anything to you. You're a horrible man. And people will stand up to you no matter how much you grind us under your toes.
I will grind you all. And I'm not a horrible man. I'm just misunderstood. You walk a mile in my shoes, peasant, and then you tell me what a bad man I am.
Academically thoughtful.
But now that you mention it, I do think about this town. Perhaps the efficacy of the crop production of this town would outweigh the joy I would get from raising it to the ground.
You know, I was thinking about that with our model of thermoeconomics that we've been dealing with. As the summer sun is getting hotter, all of your oppressive gestures that are causing us to have the water dry up and all these are creating a negative feedback loop in the work per capita output. You know, perhaps with a different thought process or maybe some different approaches to governing, you might find a way to get more work out of us with less torture and less suffering.
Well, peasant, you've given me something to think about. Now, what I would like you to explain to me, though, however, is I'm curious about these flowers that I'm seeing on your pond. If you can tell me how they formed and where the child is who may be led to these, then I will put you and make you my minister of crop rotation.
Stupid pride. Oh, these flowers? You mean the prophecy that came into my beautiful pond? The one that I have been tending for years in preparation? Yes, it looks like it's the prophecy, and it's the prophecy that came to my house. The one the scrolls are told about.
You think that's something? You just happen to be a child, a pawn of prophecy, if you will. Whereas this prophecy has been built for thousands of years about me. The entire universe is conspiring against me and hasn't defeated me yet.
You may think you've won everything, but my daughter, who is even now fleeing to recover sacred artifacts, will be your downfall as she becomes the most powerful necromancer in the area.
You stupid peasant. Now you told me all I need to know. That your daughter is the one, the prophesied child. Now I don't need you anymore because I'm good enough to do this on my own.
Oh! The body crumbles to the ground and the flowers begin to wilt in the pond.
Oh, Pansley, send out all the troops in all the directions. We must find this child. We must find this child and kill her before she has a chance to harvest these flowers and raise the dead.
Absolutely, my lord. We will send them all as soon as possible to all four compass points. We will provide you with continuing updates.
And so ends Act 1 of Zardania, the Blossoming Necromancer. where her father has died. She has fled to find the staff of the undead, but Verminin knows that she exists and is sending troops out to kill her before she can harvest the flowers and raise the dead.
Yes.
Which brings us to the first half of Act Two, where we will quickly meet the companions that Zandria gathers up using an improv game that we are calling Fantasy Hero. This is an improv game technically called Superheroes, where one person starts as a superhero and then they introduce their fellow superhero. They just give them a random name. That person has to come in and be that superhero. And then that person gives a random name and that person has to act out that superhero. So if I was in it, I'd say, oh, come in, board game man. And then Mike would have to come in as board game man.
Right.
And then he could come in and say, oh, look who's, thank God you're on the sea, you know, instant coffee woman.
Yes.
And then I'd have to act that. So,
right. However, we'll set this.
What's that?
I was going to say, for this one, though, we're going with all those tropes that we talked about, the Fantasy Dungeons and Dragons. Tropes. Yeah.
So I think what we're going to do here is we're going to consolidate this. We're going to have Zandria reach a town or tavern.
Yep.
And in that, there's always a tavern.
Yep.
And in that tavern, she will meet this cast of characters.
And about assemble her party in a one shot. Yep, exactly.
Become her party.
Yeah, yeah. For the interest of having our viewers get, or listeners get right into the magic, you know?
Okay. So let's start out with Zandria talking to the innkeeper who will introduce her to the first hero for her quest.
A frightened Zandria stumbles into the inn from one of the neighboring towns after having fled for several hours. All right. Yes, my darling, what can I do for you today?
Oh, perhaps you can help me, good sir. I'm fleeing from the evil overlord Verminin, and I'm trying to find some ancient artifacts that only I can wield, but I'm so young and I'm so new at this. Is there anyone here, maybe an adventurer, a hero, who could step up and help me?
Settle down and grab a seat, my girl. You came to the right place. We have adventurers of all types over here. Hey, anybody over here? Anybody interested in trying to help out this young lass? She's trying to stand up against the evil overlord.
Yes, I, Thornin, Oathbreaker, am here.
Oh, Thornin. I've never met anyone so tall and with so many giant pieces of metal all on his arms and shoulders. Thornin, Oathbreaker, what can you do to help me?
Well, I will make you a promise that I will help you on this quest. But as you could probably guess from my name, I can't guarantee I'll keep that promise.
Well, potential help is better than no help, I'll always say.
Well, I promise that I will be your friend forever.
Thank you, Thornin, Oathbreaker. What a wonderful comfort knowing he's having someone with you and such a large hammer across your back. Where did you...
Oh, the hammer's just one. I've also got a sword, I've got a dagger, and my favorite is my fist and my other fist.
Oh my gosh, you're so huge.
I can break oaths, and I can break skulls. And I promise I shall break as many skulls as necessary for you to achieve the artifact and overthrow the evil lord Verminin.
Oh, Thornin, Oathbreaker, I feel so much better just knowing that you're in this group here. But can we do it alone?
No, we cannot. But fortunately, I know someone who can help us. Alana, the piously annoying, come join us.
May the goddess have mercy on all of you and all of your heathen infidel ways, that you may be forgiven as you come worshipped at my god in her mercy, kindness, and justice. Alana.
Oh, you are so beautiful. Was it Alana?
It is. And yes, I am beautiful, child, for I have learned through my goddess that to speak falsehood reduces my allegiance to her. I must speak the truth. You are pretty, but I am beautiful.
Yes, that's my Alana right there. You know, she made an oath to her god. She's kept it so well for so long. I think she's kind of crazy.
My child, are you trying to rise up against the evil overlord?
I am. Do you think you can help me with you and all your goodness? You must be able to fight the forces of evil.
Speaking as one who represents my goddess, the answer is a resounding yes. Thornin, you have done a wonderful job of bringing me into this group, and now I must bring to you my one last friend who I never travel without. He is truly one of the slipperiest, most cagey individuals you've ever met.
Oh my god, you don't mean...
Yes, Mousebeard the Illicit.
Hello, did I hear someone say my name over here?
Mousebeard, I want you to meet this young woman, Zandria, and of course, our old friend Thornin, Oathbreaker.
It's so good to see you again. Mouse Deed, I promise I'm happy to see you.
Oh, so good to see you, Thornin. Oh, look, oh, Thornin, it appears that you dropped your gold pouch. Let me get that for you.
No, I just kind of, oh, okay, I'll take that back.
Now you, Zandria, was it such a pretty name for a pretty girl? Tell me, Zandria, what can Mousebeard do for you?
Well, Mousebeard and Alana and Thornin, I've been tasked to overthrow the Overlord. It seems that I have the power of the Chosen One.
The power of the Chosen One? I remember hearing of this story. You!
Oh, that Chosen One's prophesied to... That's necromancy. That's black arts.
Necromancy? I've never seen anything like this before. That's the art hasn't been practiced in over 100 years. Are we going to help to resurrect a lost art and overthrow an overlord? There'll be lots of treasure in that castle, I can tell you.
Oh, Mousebeard, is that all you can think of is money?
No. Sometimes I think of where I can spend the money.
Oh, you're incorrigible, Mousebeard. We must help this girl because we made her a promise, and we stick to our word, usually.
Well, it would be so helpful for you to help me. For my father, who is actually a strong wizard, said that necromancy doesn't have to be evil, and that when the flowers grew from the dead flowers in my pond yesterday, he said that was the sign that I could be the force of good using necromancy. But to do it, I need to find the Staff of the Undead.
The Staff of the Undead. Oh, my
child, you have so much to learn. The Staff of the Undead is not fit for human consumption, but
wait a minute. Did you say that flowers grew on from your dead pond?
Yes, they did yesterday morning.
Oh, Thornin, Mousebeard.
Yes.
Good Lord has decreed we must help this child, for I have read of this. Not in the prophecy is this silly, silly heathen prophecy you're talking about, but in the Book of Ancillon, the one true God, he speaks of flowers from a dead pond. This child was sent to us for a reason. We must help her.
Oh, if you could, that would be amazing. If we go try and find where the Book of Ancillon is, maybe it will help show us where the Staff of the Undead is.
Very well. Then we shall. I have no idea where to begin, but I promise we shall find the Book of Ancillon.
Yes. I can't wait to try and see how protected it is. I haven't flexed my acquiring skills in a while.
Yes, we shall find it. I have an understanding of where the Book of Ancillon is, but it is in the sub-basement of the Church of the Semilight. Not the Church of Light like I am, but the Semilight. Those people who were kicked out of our church, but they took the book with them. We need to get into the church vault to read this book.
Okay, let's go. Bartender, thank you so much. We shall begin our quest to find this book.
And scene.
Right. Thornin, nice. Oathbreaker, Alana the Insufferable, and Mousebeard the Illicit.
Highestly insufferable, but yes.
Highestly insufferable. There we go.
Oh, you said the illicit. Okay, yeah.
Got it.
All right.
What a cast of what a little rogues gallery we have here.
It's like Sunday night at Mike Worth's house.
Yes, it is. That's right.
All right, a little D&D adventure. All right, so our short superhero game was not so short, but very entertaining.
Yeah, but we got our characters in.
We're going to see this quest to break into the church vault using an improv game called Best of Times, Worst of Times.
Yes.
Where we will act out. We've got four characters, and Mike and I will switch between who's playing which character as needed. And we're going to act out the scene of getting the Book of Ancillon. At any point, Mike or I can clap our hands and say either best of times or worst of times. If we say best of times, then everything that happens in the scene is the best of times. It's great. Everything's working just fine. If we say worst, then things are going wrong. Everything's a disaster and so on.
Yes.
All okay. Right. So we will now see second half of Act 2, best of times, worst of times.
Okay. And
there. Yes. There, down the hill. You see, there is the Church of the Semi-Light. Now, I don't know how to get in there. We can't go in the front door because they will see me and sense me coming.
Leave it to me. I'll be back in 5 minutes. I'm sure a place like this has lots of small little nooks and crannies you can scurry around. 5 minutes later, comes back.
Best of times.
Great news. I found a door that has been left open by two drunken acolytes. We can waltz right in, and it goes directly to the basement where the vault is being kept. Just follow me.
Excellent. No, Mousebeard, you follow me. If we run into trouble, I need to be the one in front here. So let me lead, and I will face any adversary we face.
Wonderful news. I'm so glad we have a big, strong man here.
Should I? Guys, should I come with you? I mean, I'm not really the adventuring type, but you think I should come in with you?
Of course you should. Of course you should, my child. You are part of this party, and as a matter of fact, you'll be the one who'll be able to sense the staff of the undead. That's part of your ability.
Okay.
They go in through the door and start descending stairs towards the vault.
Worst times.
Oh, Mousebeard, you idiot. You didn't scope out the bottom of the stairs. There's a whole platoon of guards down here.
What? I wasn't prepared for this. Oh, gosh, if you weren't wearing all that armor, we would have done a surprise attack. Who are these adventurers up here? Quick, draw swords. Protect the Book of Ancelon in the vault.
Oh, yes, oh, my God, look. They've got one of the Church of Light with them. Kill them. Kill them all.
I'm not prepared for this. What do I do, Alana? What do I do?
Best of times.
Stay behind me, child. My goddess protects me. Oh, goddess!
Alana starts blaring in white light that overwhelms the guards, knocking them all back. Oh, we only like steady light, not the bright pure white light.
Excellent job, Alana. You've done wonderful with this. And now, chop suey! Whoopsh, whoopsh. Thornton begins mowing down the guards, chopping them in half left and right, left and right.
You, Xandra, come with me in the commotion. We'll quickly slip in and get the Book of Ancelon.
Yes, I got it. Of course, get it too. As they run to the vault, worst of times.
Oh my goodness.
Well, what is
they
it,
have a Cerberus.
A Cerberus? I've heard of these things. Three heads on one dog?
Yes, and from the looks of it, it is a very hungry, mean dog.
Oh, quick! Hide, hide, hide! Oh, my God! Mousebeard, what happened? He got you! Oh, my God, he bit your leg!
He's biting my leg!
Best of times.
She runs over and puts, Xandra runs over. Hold on a second! She puts her hand on the dog, and suddenly the dog rears back in surprise and shock. She puts her other hand on the leg, and suddenly the dead flesh starts to regenerate. It's working! I'm restoring your dead flesh to life!
Well, that is quite a skill. We are going to have to talk about this, my dear. But looks like that you distracted the dog, too. Quick, let's slip inside.
Okay, let's go for it.
Thornton and Alana, having dispatched the guards, join up with Mousebeard and Xandria right now.
Okay, good.
All right, look. Oh, my God, you guys dispatched a Cerberus. That's pretty impressive.
I don't know what happened. I just touched my hand on the Cerberus and touched my hand on Mousebeard's injured leg, and suddenly all the dead flesh started knitting back together again.
Oh, my child, it is as Ancelon wanted. Your evil powers are being used for good. The God of Light shining through you.
All right, I don't think that's exactly what happened, but whatever, let's go find this damn book.
Worst of times.
You would blaspheme? You say damn in the church, even if it's just semi-light? You idiot, I knew we should never have trusted a slippery, incorrigible, illicit person like you, Mousebeard.
You're going to talk to me like that? Well, then you can figure out a way to get inside here. I ain't doing squat for either of you guys.
Oh, my girls. God, will you two shut up? This is why I keep breaking my promises, because people like you drive me to it. It's not my fault.
Best of times. Xandria leans against the door, accidentally triggering a small mechanism. The door begins to roll open. Oh, how lucky was that?
Oh, my God, child, I promise with luck like that, I will follow you to the very ends of the earth. These other two, I don't know about them.
I feel so confident in that. Look at this vault. There's treasure everywhere. Where is this book?
Treasure, yes. I'll tell you what. Why don't you guys find the book, and I will just scope out the situation a little bit.
Very, very well, Mousebeard. You have earned it. Come with me, my child, to go look at the book here. Worst of times.
Guys, there are, like, millions of books in this vault. How are we going to find the one book we need?
I'm completely useless. I've never learned to read anything other than a beer menu.
Oh, Thornton, if you had only listened to me when I tried to teach you to read, you know what? This is the problem with you and Mousebeard. You don't take anything seriously.
I know my strengths and weaknesses, but right now I'm practically useless here. I'll just sit over here and with my hammer and be sad.
Guys, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I picked up a nice little bauble, but I think it set off an alarm somewhere, so our time is very limited now.
Oh my God, I don't know which book to look at. I don't know which one to see to get the indication.
Best of times. Child, come. We are in the Church of Light. Close your eyes and feel the book you need.
Oh, I can feel the book. I can feel it. It's calling to me. It's calling to me. Xandra begins walking unerringly towards a book mounted on a pedestal. I can feel it. And Xandra touches the book, and as she touches the book, a random staff flares to life over in the other corner of the vault.
Oh, my, look at that. Let me go get it.
Worst of times.
Mousebeard! Mousebeard! I think he's dead. I think he's dead.
Oh, well, that's what you get. You shouldn't touch the staff of the undead in the Church of the Semi-Light. That was very stupid, Mousebeard.
Best of times. Wait a second. If I really am the Chosen One, if I really have necromancy, let me... Xandria walks over. Let me take this staff. Let me lay my hand on Mousebeard. And suddenly, cascading blue and red fire kind of come in and slam into Mousebeard's body, bringing him up and animating him as he begins to stagger back to his feet.
Worst of times. Oh, this seems very evil. I mean, Mousebeard was nice and all, but I think I must call the wrath of my god to destroy this abomination right here in this church.
No, I can still be useful. Wait, you would go and destroy one of my creations, Alana? How could you? I am the Chosen One.
You are the Chosen One of some false god, but the Ancelon, clearly you are some kind of defiler here if you can raise the dead like this. Oh, wait, we mustn't fight. Look at Mousebeard. Best of times.
Mousebeard's flesh begins to change from a zombie-like flesh back into its normal kind of healthy glow, and he straightens back up again and kind of shakes his head. Oh, I was on the other side, but you brought me back. You saved me for the mission and for the good of the town and the good of the land.
Oh, Mousebeard, I'm so glad. I'm so glad it worked. And with this staff, I think we have the power if we can get back to the flower pond, because I need to harvest those flowers in order for us to defeat the evil overlord Verminin.
Well, that sounds perfect. What are we waiting for? I'll lead the way. As they walk back out of the vault and out of the temple into the woods, worst of times.
They are confronted by a whole regiment of Verminin's men who have tracked them to this location.
Child, you have done well giving us the staff of the undead and removing it from the Church of the Semi-Light. We will take it now and ensure that it is properly used. Men circle all four of the party.
If you wish to take this staff and to harm anyone in this party, you will have to get past me, Thornin Oathbreaker. And this is one oath I shall not break.
Oh, I see you are a man of stature. Very well then. Gentlemen, all of a sudden, eight men run at Thornin Oathbreaker.
Starts... I will kill you all.
Oh my god, this is... I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Quickly, the guards overpower Thornin Oathbreaker and grab the staff from Xandria. As they do, they throw Thornin Oathbreaker into a wagon and start to gallop off, leaving the two ladies alone with Mousebeard having fled away.
Oh, Alana, what'll we do? We've lost the staff, we've lost Thornin, and Mousebeard is nowhere to be seen.
My child, I don't know. My goddess is not speaking to me now, but I fear we may have unleashed an ancient evil into this world unless we get the staff back and unless we get our comrades back. It is a dark day right now.
And seed.
Yeah.
All right, now, in many ways, that brings us to the end of Act. That's kind of the... end of Act 3, really.
Yeah.
Crown of Our Darkest Hour. So I think, for the sake of time, where the story is now, we're going to jump to Act 4, because Act 2 was going to be, like, figuring out, Act 3 was going to be them finding the device and losing it. So yep. I think we're kind of at the end of that act, which takes us to Act 4. So we're going to skip our Scenes Without the Letter story. You're lucky. We'll do that next week.
Oh, sorry, Boom. I didn't realize. We just chugged through it. The game
story,
went...
Man. Look, it's
it was a good story,
time,
man.
A story time. It's moving along nicely. So, and plus, we doubled up our games in Act 2. So,
oh, yes, that kind of worked. Good.
So we're now going to see the conclusion of this story as we move into the heroes are at their darkest hour. Mousebeard has fled because he's illicit and slippery. Thornin has been captured in a wagon. Alana and Xandria are alone, and they've lost the staff. So we're going to take this to the end of the story with an improv game called Cutting Room.
Yes.
Where we'll start out with a two-person scene or a scene. At any point, Mike or I can clap our hands and say, cut to whatever. It could be a different part of the story, the future, the past, something completely random, like out of the story in a separate movie, whatever. And we're going to use that structure to take us all the way to the end of Xandria, the Blossoming Necromancer.
Yes.
All right. So our scene begins with Alana and Xandria trudging back towards Xandria's hometown.
Yes. I have no idea how we're going to get the staff back, but I'm not willing to give up. My town and my land, they need to have the overlord be overthrown. Alana, Xandria? Yes, Alana.
I know. I am here with you. You must have faith. That is the one thing that will get us through this now, is faith. In the darkest hours, we will get a glimmer of light by our belief in our one true God.
Cut to the one true God watching all of this.
Oh, Jesus. They just... Why do these people keep getting into trouble and keep needing me to get them out of it?
Hey, Helen, how's everything going over with your priests?
Oh, they are such a pain in the butt. They have lost everything. They stumbled into a trap, and now they want it up to me to save them. You know what? I'm cutting them loose today. They got to figure this one out on their own.
Yeah, you know what? They'll never learn if they don't fail a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And if the world ends as a result, guess what? I'll just make a new one.
That's right, Helen. We're going to make ourselves a new one. All right, I'll go get some tea. Cut back to them traipsing through the forest. I mean, if we only even had Mousebeard here, I don't know where he ran off to. Cut to where Mousebeard is right now.
So how much for the blonde and the brunette?
I see you're a man of a svelte appetite. We are running a two-for-one special if you also buy that bottle of fine wine.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm a little light on funds right now, but could we start a tab and give me some credit? Listen, I've had a long day, and I just need to...
You're one of those, aren't you? You get out of my tavern until you get some sort of money coming in. Out, out, out!
Go back to Alana and Xandria.
I mean, if we could even just find out where Mouse Brain is, he would just be able to help to sneak back in and maybe free Thorn and Oathbreaker.
Yes, having Mousebeard with us would be helpful, but he made his choice, as we all must make our choices. Now, I'm just going to pray to my God, and he will tell us what to do.
Hello? Cut to Helen the God receiving the prayer right now.
Can you just send that to voicemail?
Come back to the scene.
Hello?
Well, is it working?
I'm not getting anything back. I've never felt so cut off before. I don't know what to do. I've never been so cut off from my source before.
You know what? We need to get something that's going to put you back in the good graces with your God. We need to head to the nearest town and see if we can steal something that will help our God.
Did I hear someone say steal something?
Mousebrain, you came back.
I did. You know, when I was sitting in that brothel thinking about betting the women, I realized that one was blonde and one was brunette. And why, Alana, you're blonde, and Xandria, you're brunette. And yes, it made me think about you and how I abandoned you in your time of need. And you know what? I don't want to be Mousebeard anymore. I do want to be Mousebrain. I want to use my brain for good and to help you. And you know what? We're going to steal what we need to get there. We're going to steal that staff back. We're going to steal Thornin. And we are going to kill that overlord once and for all.
Yes, let's do it. Okay, cut to them now back at the small town where the encampment of the bad guys are. They're near the pond, and they're figuring out how to break out the staff and Thornin Oathbreaker.
All right, now this is a very heavily fortified position. I might be able to pick the lock on Thornin's cage, but we need a distraction to get the guards away.
Distraction. Okay, let me think of it.
I know.
Yes, go for it.
My God has cut me off, and I realize this sort of behavior is more Mousebeard's, but I am as we established earlier, I am a beautiful, beautiful woman. I will seduce the guards away with my naked body, drawing them, because as we know, when a woman is naked, all men lose all sense and will follow them anywhere.
Cut to the guards guarding Thorn and Oathbreaker.
So you know what I was just thinking?
Yeah.
I was thinking, I can't wait to get off this assignment because I haven't gotten any in such a long time.
Yeah, man. We're on full-time guard duty for his lordship. I mean, he's nice and all. He treats us well. But, man, I could really use some... Hey, what's that sound coming out of the bushes?
What? Hey, listen.
Django, am I? Have I just been on guard duty too long, or is that a naked lady?
No, you haven't been on guard duty too long. That is a naked lady. We need to go find out what's going on there.
Let's go.
Cut to Mouse Brain and Zandria. Zandria watching as the as Thornton's imprisonment gets evacuated. Not evacuated, but the guards run away.
Oh, all right. Looks like I got my chance. Now listen, Zandria, you stay here. If you see them returning, you got to make some kind of signal to let me know if the guards are coming back.
Okay, I'll make some sound. Okay. Cut to Mouse Beard going down and actually picking the lock, freeing Thornton.
Thornton, I'm here. I'm gonna get you out of here.
Oh yes, you're back. I see. After having run away like a coward, at least when I break my promises, I have a name that backs it up. You weren't called Mouse Beard, the Promise Breaker. You have disappointed me.
I know. I disappointed myself. But listen, I ran away. I was weak, but I came back, and that's the important thing, right? Let me get you out of here. Listen, you don't understand. Alana is out there being naked in front of guards. She's like going against everything she thought she believed to help you and to help Zandria.
She is too pure. We must defend her. Let me out, little Mouse Beard. All will be forgiven.
Cut to Alana where the two guards are approaching her.
Oh, naked lady. Oh my goodness.
Yes, my goddess has blessed me with great beauty, and this beauty may be yours as you come right over here and walk with me this way.
Cut to Helen and the gods looking down at this new development.
Helen, have you changed your sphere of influence? Because that's looking a little different than what I thought you kind of did with your priest.
Oh my god! I knew I made her beautiful, but really, I did a real nice job.
Hey, Arthur, Jimmy, you got to come over here. Look what Helen's priests are doing. So much for the pure goddess.
All right. Listen, I guess she proved she can do it on her own, so let me reconnect. Let me give her some powers back, I guess.
Hey, man, if you want, Helen, man, but I'm telling you, my priests have never done this before. This is pretty cool.
Cut back to Alana. Oh, I can feel my glory returning to me. You guards, here, face the white light of Alcedon.
Ah, it burns the eyes, it burns us. The two guards stumble back and fall into one of the ponds and stare lifeless.
Wow, Alana, you didn't need us to save you. That was quite a display.
My goddess has returned to me. She has seen that I will do what it takes to make sure that good is here. But Thornton, Mousebeard, you came to save me. Thank you. Now, let us go get the staff and end the Overlord's rule once and for all.
Cut back to Zandria, who is now in trouble of her own.
What is this we have here?
Stay back. I have friends, and they'll come to help me.
Your friends seem to have abandoned you, little girl, and that little butter knife won't stop us. Why don't you put that down and come quietly?
I don't need the butter knife to stop you. I need the butter knife to help me. She stabs her hand and blood drips down. She coats the blood and throws it at them. Blazing bolts of fire smash into the guards.
Cut to these guards talking about this story later on over drinks.
And then she took the blood and she threw it and it blew up.
I couldn't believe it. She cut her hand, man. Who does that? What little girl cuts her own hand?
It was the most dysfunctional thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I did not sign up for this, man. I didn't sign up for this.
More wine and more beer immediately.
Damn it. I need mutton. Cut to the group of four, regrouping for their final plan. Oh, Alana, you're back.
Yes.
Thornton, so good to see you. Mouse Brain, I'm sorry.
Zandria, what happened here? What, you took out four guards. What did you do?
Well, with the staff of the undead and thinking back to some of the things my father tried to teach me, I realized how to tap into the power of necromancy for good. And I think I'm ready. If I can just get the staff, I think I'm ready to face Verminin.
Well, it's time. I think I have a plan for us to get back and take out Lord Verminin once and for all.
Cut to Verminin right now, starting to sense some disturbance in his encampment.
Something's not right. I sense necromancy.
My lord, necromancy? That's been outlawed here for 100 years.
Yes, but someone's doing it, and the prophecy was about necromancy.
Wait, we must go secure the staff. Something's not right here.
I want, my lord. Men, join me and Lord Verminen to the staff. Cut to the party approaching the staff when suddenly the overlord shows up and starts to surround the staff, resulting in a standoff.
You fools. You came back. You could have gone on and lived your life, and now you're here. Now we will not let you live. You think you can get the staff for me and my men? Huh?
Yes, we will, for it is our destiny to actually bring your rule to an end. Xandria steps up and brandishes her small little wooden knife. Stand aside or suffer the consequences.
Huh. Verminen pulls out his giant sword from his scabbard. Shh! You show me what you can do with that knife, little girl.
Thornin, now would be a good time for you to pull out all those weapons that you have.
Yes, but I told you I don't need those weapons, for I have my right fist and my left fist. And I promise these will be enough to break the skulls that we need to break to get you that staff.
You come at me, warrior. Taste the bitter steel of your own demise. Aha! Ching, ching. Cut to the epic Wuxia Jackie Chan inspired battle between Thornin and Lord Verminen.
You may have the power of the overlord, but I have the power of the oath.
Oh my gosh, why are they flying through the trees all of a sudden? Quick, now's our chance. We need to go break in and get the staff of the undead.
Yes, I'll tell you what. Alana, you do one of those distractions again, and I will quickly grab the staff, but I won't grab it this time. I'll just take Alexandria to it.
Yes, I shall distract again with the power of my goddess. Cut to the gods catching wind of this right now. Oh, he's doing it again. Helen, your priest is doing it again.
All right, I get it. She's getting naked. Listen, you can make... people, one naked lady, shouldn't be this important to you.
I don't understand where your sphere of influence is anymore, because hardcore nudity has entered the building.
Cut to this new group of guards seeing a naked lady again. Oh my god, a naked lady?
You're so pretty.
Dude, let's put our swords down and stop fighting and just go closer to this naked lady.
Yeah, let's just do that, you know? So now is our chance. I'll break in right now and get into the staff of Ra. Cut to the critical scene where Mousebeard is trying to remove the staff of Ra while not triggering the weight plate.
Do.
Do. Do. Do. Do. Do. Do. Do. Do. Do. Do. Do.
Mousebeard!
I've got the staff! I've got
the spikes!
Staff.
The spikes are coming towards you, Mousebeard!
Cut to Mousebeard's epic anime inspired dodging of the spikes.
Mousebeard, how did you do that?
It's all in the wrists, my dear. It's all in the wrists. Cut to the epic standoff between Lord Verminen and Xandria, now wielding the Staff of the Undead.
Oh, I have dispatched your hero. He may be alive, but he will die soon. He fought well. Now, little girl, it is just you and I.
It is you and I, with one more person involved. Psh, the god of life and of death. Energy surges through the staff and courses through her body, for that is what the Staff of the Undead brings back. It brings back the ninth god, the one who has been entombed for hundreds of years, who controls death and the ability to prevent it.
Cut to the arrival of the ninth god, who happens to be Xandria's long-lost mother.
Yes! Yes! So the naked priest again. Estonia, you've been gone for 100 years.
Yes, I sacrificed myself so that my child could be born and I could return on this very day to end the rule of you, Overlord Verminen.
Oh, Estonia, it's good to have you back, but you totally missed all the priests getting naked for no good reason. Helen totally needs to get her sphere of influence in order because she's all out of whack right now.
Well, Helen was really just a placeholder for a little while. So, as you all know, I am the one true god above the other eight. And now that I am back, I can go and assist my daughter in ending the evil Verminen and bringing balance back to the world once again.
Yes, Estonia, it's good to have you back. Cut to Estonia joining Xandria down on the final battle fight.
Xandria, my daughter.
Hi, where did you come from, and why are you so beautiful?
Ah,
Yes, you are quite beautiful, Goddess Estonia.
Yes, yes, Alana, you are sort of made in my image. Just leave it alone for now. My daughter, Zandria, you have grown up so beautifully. I am your mother. I loved your father, but I sacrificed myself so that I could gather my strength and return when needed to help overthrow evil.
Well, it's good. Now's the right time. See that guy there? He's really evil.
What is going on here? You, strange, beautiful woman, stay out of this conflict. It is between me and Zandria.
Verminin, your reign has ended. You may go peacefully, or you may have to deal with me and my daughter.
I choose to never leave. This is my kingdom and my ability to rule as I see fit. Ah!
Cut to Zandria, going to the pond with the flowers and harvesting a whole bunch she can use to defeat Lord Verminin with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hurry, hurry. I can hear the sounds of battle. It's going badly for my mother, Estonia. Quick back. I think I've got enough. Let's go do this. Cut back to the battle.
Now I have you, Estonia. Your goddess powers may be mighty, but no match for my sword of brittle steel.
Ah, Verminin, you who can't understand the power of family and friendship and love, don't seem to realize that all I was a distraction.
What? You? Zandria, what are you doing with those flowers?
Here, these are the flowers that we took from the fish that we harvested, and these are the flowers that grew from my father's dead body, which you lay in the pond after you slayed him. Whoosh!
Ah, Sitsias, the burning light! Ah!
The overlord's body crumples beneath the armor and begins to melt into a toxic slime on the ground. His lieutenants look at Zandria, and begin running in terror.
Oh, my child, let them go, for without their leader, they will soon scatter and die on their own. You have defeated evil using necromancy for good.
I am proud. I, Thornton Oathbreaker, promise that I will always be proud of the bravery that you have shown, Zandria, and the beauty that you have restored to this land by defeating the evil Lord Verminin.
And Thornton, for doing such an amazing job, and this time keeping your word, I now give you the name Thornton Oathkeeper.
I have achieved new greatness in my life. This is a true promise.
And you, Mousebeard.
Yes?
You who overcame your cowardness and self-interest to return and help, I bequeath you a bag of never-ending gold. You shall never have to turn on your friends for money again.
Oh my, the number of blondes and brunettes that I can get with this. Thank you so much. Thank you all. Hey, you can join me at the tavern down the street. I'll be there for the next 3 years.
Enjoy. And you, Alana.
Yes, my goddess.
Well, you will now become the first priestess of Estonia, the one true god.
I would be honored to carry on your legacy here on this land.
Oh, and also, God Ben wanted me to give you his number.
Okay, great. Mother, I fear father is dead. He lies dead in the pond.
Oh, my child, you had the power in you all along. Have you not forgotten your power?
Cut to her resurrecting her father with the staff in a Disney-esque swirling of emotion.
Oh my God, what the hell happened?
I don't know what happened before, but what's happening now is a new day for our...
Zandria, you're alive, you're okay!
Yes, father, I am. And I have come into my power, as you said, the necromancy power.
You did it, and... Oh, my God. Is that your mother?
Hi, James.
Oh, Estonia, you look good.
Yeah, well, I've been sleeping for 100 years. Speaking of which, how's the bed in the house?
Oh, it's good. It's real good.
Sandria, we'll be... getting the place ready for me to move back in. Why don't you come on in about 30 or 40 minutes?
Oh, okay. Well, oh, ew! And scene.
All our things end with slightly naughty stuff, but that's okay.
And so ends the story of Zandria, the blossoming necromancer.
By the way, we incorporated both the flowers and the necromancy...
And the long-lost mother, we brought her back.
Dude, when you brought her back in Act 4, I was like, yes! You can't see it because of the podcast, but I was literally stabbing Avish through the Zoom. I was like, that's it! That's totally it! Yeah.
That was a little bit of like railroading the story because I'm like, the big couple's like, the cut to happens to be, but hey, it worked. It was fun.
It was great. It was awesome.
All right. So therein is the end of our show. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you had as much fun listening as we did performing it. And if you did enjoy it, please head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating. Would be amazing. And if you're so inclined, a short review. That is really what helps our podcast grow. And if you go to our website, avishandmike.com, you get more information. You can leave a suggestion for a future movie or genre. And there's some links there to help our show grow. If you could share this to your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever, the more people who listen and watch, the better it is for us, the better it is for everyone.
Absolutely. Avish, great job, man. That was an awesome time.
That was a great time. Ton of fun. Hope everyone enjoyed it. Mike, thank you. And we will see you all next week. And we'll announce that genre soon.
Absolutely. Take care, everybody.